Welcome to North Place Church Online. We are so glad that you are joining us today. If you're a guest, thank you. Thank you for finding us here on Facebook or YouTube or however you found us online. We're grateful that you're here. We would love to get to know you a little better. We'd also love to share more with you about North Place. If you're interested in that, please just type guest in the comment section. One of our pastoral team will reach out to you. I want to offer a very special welcome to any of our friends who are joining us from anywhere in the world. Thanks for being with us today. And to our IAG friends, we also are grateful that you're here. North Place, we love you, and we cannot wait until we get to see you again. We can't wait until we get to worship in person together. But aren't we grateful that this technology exists, that we get the opportunity to continue to learn and to grow together as followers of Jesus Christ. As always, if you're in need of prayer, or if you have anything going on in your life, our pastoral team stands ready to connect with you. Please just type prayer right there in the comment section, and one of our prayer team or pastoral team will reach out to you. Listen, the way that you and I invite people to church now that we're doing church online is not the way that we used to. We don't get them in the car and drive them to church with us. We just take and we click that share button. So right there on YouTube, our Facebook, I want to encourage you, if you're a part of North Place Church, click that share button right now, and you can invite every one of your friends to join you here at church online. This month, we have been studying together a series of messages focused on what the Bible teaches about how we overcome anxiety. Paul was writing from a prison cell, and he wrote a letter to the church at Philippi. And as he was writing to these people, he was writing to people that he loved and he cared about, who were dealing with some real life problems. I mean, think about it. These people weren't just being insulted for being Christians. These people were being imprisoned. They were being burned at the stake. They were being hung upside down on crosses. I mean, these people were dealing with things that most of us are not even capable of comprehending. But it does highlight for us what the Bible teaches about how we deal with circumstances and situations that causes anxiety in our life. Anxiety is real, and when you experience it, you know it, because it is debilitating. Before COVID-19, mental health experts all over the world said that over 600 million people, think about that, that's a lot of people, were dealing with what is called anxiety disorder. And we've been talking about anxiety over the last several weeks. And we know, of course, that anxiety disorder and just anxiety that people experience in general are two different things. But if you consider the effects of this global pandemic, then you understand that people all over the world are dealing in a very real way with anxiety. As a result of that, the words that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi have never been more real. They've never been more relevant than they are right now. Paul said to those people, he said, "Be anxious for nothing." Let me read to you exactly the words from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. It says this: "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And then here it is: "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." See, we believe that. We believe that as followers of Jesus Christ, God wants to allow his peace. He wants to cause his peace to flood into our lives. At North Place Church, we believe in the power of God's word. We believe that when we allow the Bible to speak for itself and to apply it in our lives, healthy change happens. This means that we don't reduce scripture to a cliche. We don't turn it into a bumper sticker or a mantra that we just repeat. This also means that we don't come up with some sort of wish list of what we hope happens in our life, or we don't come up with our own philosophies, our own ideas, that we then turn to the Bible and we use the Bible to find proof for those things. See, that's nothing more than manipulation or mysticism. You might as well be being playing magic or mind games. Anxiety is not a time to play games. Anxiety is a real problem, and it can't just be dismissed or willed away by some repeated phrase or some mysticism. Paul certainly was writing to people that he cared about, and he was writing them to equip them to overcome very real anxiety. I believe that as we learn together during this series of messages, we also are going to learn how we overcome anxiety. See, what we have learned so far from the book of Philippians is that we overcome anxiety by reframing our mind and our heart. You see, we've learned that when we study the Bible for what it actually says in its context, not mystical magic spells or bumper sticker cliches that we just repeat over and over again, but when we apply it for what it says consistently over time, our lives will be transformed in a healthy way. Let's look a little bit further at what we have learned so far from the book of Philippians. We've learned so far that we overcome anxiety, we reframe our mind and our heart by embracing Christ's sufficiency. See, the moment that you accept that it's just okay, but a healthy thing to embrace your limitations, you start to win the battle against anxiety. Number two, we have learned that we overcome anxiety by prioritizing things that matter. Anxiety causes me to disproportionately prioritize things. It's not enough to just say this is more important than that and to live out of balance in your life. But when you and I are healthy, we will begin to prioritize things in light of eternity. The third thing that we have learned about overcoming anxiety is this: we overcome anxiety when we change our perspective. You know, you can always tell when your perspective is askew in your life through the lens of your relationships with other people. Healthy perspective means that I am both at peace and I am, and this is the key, I am producing peace in others. For me, one of the big takeaways from last week's message was that idea of somehow we live under the lie or the deception of anxiety that causes me to embrace the badge of honor or the nobility of worry. I can't tell you how many times in my life that I've worn my worry on my sleeve as if somehow or another it's the right thing to do. I would encourage you, if you weren't with us last week, just go back on the Facebook page or the YouTube channel and listen to the previous messages. I want us to dive a little further now, a little deeper into Paul's prescription for anxiety. Let me read this to you again. Verse 6, it says this: be anxious for nothing, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Last week, we talked about how anxiety has a way of tricking you. And one of the ways that it tricks you is it causes you to believe that your situation is so unique, so special, so unlike anyone else that you are beyond help. I mean, if anxiety can convince us that we are beyond help, it paralyzes us. Anxiety, it does something crazy to our hearts and minds. It convinces us that we have to live our lives, we have to play by a different set of rules than everyone else because our situation is so unique. I mean, think about it for a minute. Many of us who are watching this today, if we were asked, if we were pressed, we'd probably say something like this. We'd probably say, you know, no one is going through what I'm going through. No one has experienced what I'm experiencing. I mean, the truth is, there's some who are watching this today, and if we were to ask you about your life or your situation, you would say, you know what, my situation is different because I live with an abusive spouse, or my life is the way it is because I work for a company that's run by jerks, and during this terrible pandemic going around the world, they have chosen to lay me off of my job because they're so greedy and they want all the money for themselves. Perhaps we would say, well, you know what, my situation is different because I was born with a disadvantage, or I was born into a family or a life that didn't give me a fair shake. I mean, every one of us, if we were to go from house to house, from screen to screen, and we were to talk about our situations, every one of us would be able to identify things in our life that causes our scenario to be different than anyone else's. The thing about anxiety is that anxiety just keeps shining the light on those things. All of these things that you and I deal with, they may be true. And can I be real with you, friend? My heart breaks for what many people are going through right now. My heart breaks for what I know many of you who are watching this broadcast today are going through. And when Paul wrote this letter to the church at Philippi, he wasn't dismissing their situation. He wasn't dismissing what they were going through. I'm not dismissing what you may be going through today. You may be saying, Pastor Randy, but you just don't understand. I'm hurting. You don't understand. My scenario is different. You may be saying, Pastor Randy, my brain doesn't produce enough serotonin, or my serotonin receptors don't work, and so anxiety is killing me. You may be saying, Randy, my life is in chaos because my business has been wrecked. You know what, friend? I'm not dismissing who you are or what you're going through today, and neither is God. He is the kind of God that joins us in our suffering. He's the kind of God that comes down and meets us right where we are. But here's the problem. Anxiety is an amplifier to the lie of the enemy. See, for many of us, we don't understand. We don't understand that the enemy of our soul desires passionately to destroy us. And the way that he wants to destroy us is through a lie. Maybe you're saying, well, Pastor Randy, what is this lie that you're talking about? Well, the lie that I'm talking about today is the same lie that the enemy has been using since the fall of man, since man existed in the Garden of Eden. It's the lie that you and I cannot trust God. During your daily 20 this week, I want to encourage you to go back and to read Genesis chapter 3. If you do, you're going to read and understand exactly what the tactics of the enemy are and what they always have been. From the beginning, he has been trying to convince us of this lie that we cannot trust God. You see, in the beginning, in Genesis 3, he convinced Adam and Eve that they couldn't trust God. And as a result of them not trusting God, they ran and they hid from God and they rejected God in their life. You and I deal with that same enemy. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says this, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Those of us who live in Africa, we're familiar with what a roaring lion does. We're familiar what happens when a lion roars. It causes everything and everybody to stop what they're doing and to run and hide. Why? Because they are afraid. See, we have the same enemy that Adam and Eve had, and he is in the same process of deception that he's been in from the beginning. He convinces us, I can't trust God. And if I can't trust God, then I need to run and I need to hide from him. I need to separate myself from him. He causes us to feel just like Adam and Eve felt. He causes us to feel just like what anything in creation would feel when a lion roars, to feel afraid, to feel like it needs to run and hide, to feel alone, to feel vulnerable. To feel like, you know what, all the rules are out the window. I have to make my own rules so that I can protect myself. Paul said to the church at Philippi, he said this, in every situation, come to God. But anxiety tells me that my situation is so unique. It's so different, it's so specialized that I have to play by a different set of rules than anyone else. It tells me that I have to separate myself. It tells me that I have to run and I have to hide, that I have to isolate myself. You see, those things that make me feel anxious, those things that produces anxiety in my life, it drives this lie, which convinces me that I must live in isolation. Paul says, he says to us in these verses, he says very clearly that we are to come to God. Anxiety, on the other hand, tells us that we should separate ourselves. Anxiety is deceptive, it's painful, because anxiety is planted in distrust and it's rooted in bitter disappointment. But Paul offers a better way. He offers another way to the church at Philippi. We overcome anxiety by reframing our mind and our heart to reject unhealthy isolation. The lie of anxiety is that I can't trust God, is that I'm so unique, is that I'm so different, that my nakedness, my what makes me uniquely me, causes me to feel separated, causes me to have to run and hide. And all the while, Paul is calling the church at Philippi in their very real fear and suffering. He's calling them to come close to God, to not be clothed in bitterness, to not be isolated in their rejection of God, but instead to come to God with what is troubling them. Anxiety tricks you into believing that you can't trust God. It tricks you into thinking that the frailty of your nakedness, those things that make you uniquely you, separate you from God and other people. It robs you of the joy and the dignity of relationship, because instead of having a heart of gratitude, we instead are forced to focus on our lack. See, bitterness, what it does is it festers in the dark places of our heart, that we do not allow the bright light of gratitude to shine. This is why Paul said to the church at Philippi, he said, in everything, come to God with thanksgiving. He kept telling them over and over again throughout the book of Philippians to rejoice. He kept telling them that when they come to God, come with a heart, with a filter of thanksgiving. You see, as long as your heart and your mind are focused on what you do not have, as long as you embrace your nakedness, what makes you uniquely you, as something that should separate you or isolate you or cause you not to trust, then I'm going to allow anxiety to rule in my life. People the world over have been asking and have been told that we are supposed to socially distance. And the truth is that mental health experts have been debating and talking about what the long-term consequences of social distancing are going to be. Why? It's because we were never created to separate. We were never created to be alone. Anything in my life that creates unhealthy isolation is there to harm you and is not there for your good. Anxiety that causes you to separate from God and others is only going to produce harm in your life. But see, we can win against anxiety by rejecting unhealthy isolation. How do I do that, Randy? How do I reject unhealthy isolation? I begin by rooting my life in trust of God. Let's go back to read what we've been reading all month long. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. It says this, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, sisters, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put in practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Instead of isolating me, instead of pulling me away from God and others, when my life is rooted in truth, when my life and my mind and my heart are rooted in these things that Paul talks about, I begin to win the battle over anxiety. We've learned this month that we overcome anxiety by embracing Christ's sufficiency, by prioritizing what matters, by changing our perspective, reframing everything, by rejecting unhealthy isolation that produces loneliness and bitterness in my life. Instead, I will not allow distrust. I will not allow bitterness to rule in my mind and in my heart. In everything, I will rejoice and I will come together. I will come to God. No matter who you are today, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, whether your anxiety is rooted in some chemical imbalance that you have no control over, or your anxiety is rooted in a consequence or a situation or a decision that is made by other people, or if your anxiety is rooted in some mistake you've made, no matter where your anxiety is coming from today, I have good news for you. God is with you. Instead of allowing your nakedness to produce something inside of you that says run and hide, let me encourage you today, run to your Father. And when you come to Him, instead of focusing on what you do not have, instead of focusing on what is broken, approach Him with a heart of gratitude that recognizes all of the good and all of the blessings in your life. And as you approach the Father with a reframed mind and heart that says, I will focus on what is good instead of what is bad, it allows you and I to enter into that relationship and to enjoy everything that He has for us. Can I pray for you right now? Father, I thank You so much for Your peace that transcends understanding. No matter where people are today, no matter what they're facing, I pray by Your Holy Spirit, go to where they are and draw them into relationship with You. The enemy wants to separate them, but God, You've done everything, even laying down Your life, Jesus Christ. You have done it to draw them into perfect relationship and to cause them to experience perfect peace. I ask You, in Jesus' name, may everyone who's watching this video today experience that.